Searching for a cheap copyright attorney, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast that happily supported Brexit. Suffering succotash, it's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, it is time for another Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. This is an exciting time of the day for me, or actually exciting time of the week, because we don't do this every day, but to record a podcast episode to share with the ladies and gentlemen that are interested in hearing about Medicare is a high point in my week, so thank you for joining us. The voice you just heard at the beginning was my Canadian nephew, Drew McMillan. He rightfully told you that I am a Medicare expert. I say that with all due modesty. It's about the only thing I'm modest about, but I am an expert at Medicare, at least to the extent of helping most people deal with their transition from normal lives to Medicare lives without too much turmoil, without too much unhappiness, and hopefully with really good results. So my goal here is to simplify Medicare for most people and help them ease into the Medicare world at a minimum of cost with a minimum of disruption in their lives, and to then be able to look forward to many, many decades of Medicare bliss and joy. I don't know how well that works out because it hasn't been many, many decades yet, but my clients are still with me for the most part, and new clients are approaching me all the time looking for either advice or assistance. Those new clients often send me email to dbj@mlmmailbag.com. That is the excellent email address that Randy figured out for our podcast. So, Randy, thank you very much for that email address. And how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm still riding on a high right now, Doug.
Well, we've got all these new products coming out that are...
I know. We together have worked like a couple dime store mules.
Yeah.
Trying to get this book on the shelf, and we did it. And now we can enjoy the fruits of our labor.
Well, not really, because there's a different kind of book that has to be dealt with, and you appear to be involved in a wrestling match with the ebook version.
I do.
And then I'm going to have my own wrestling match with the Audible book, which will be next in line. And then once we get that recorded and send it to the powers that be, we have to wait for them to approve it. And last year it took 3 months. From January 27th to April 22nd before they finally put it on their bookshelf ready for sale.
Yeah, I mean, it took forever. I don't know what the deal... Now, they have a number of different explanations as to why that was, but I don't necessarily adhere to all of them.
No, I think they're really a creative bunch of people when it comes to explanation creation. So... And you talk to three different people, you get three different stories. We're going to make sure that that Audible book is eventually placed up for sale right next to the paperback, which is the first one of the 2020 versions that's ready for sale. And there's a big orange banner right next to it that says number one new release in its category. And its category is Medicare and Medicaid. So, frankly, how big a category is that? But I'll take whatever I can get.
Now, there's one more category that you're number one in. Don't forget.
Yes. And did we get any email suggesting answers to that riddle?
I'll have to look in the mailbag. I haven't had a chance yet. But the other thing I would want to point out to folks is that in order to not lose Doug's customer reviews, He was forced to change the title of the book, so I don't want this to trip anybody up. It's called Medicare for the Lazy Man, as opposed to Medicare for the Lazy Man 2021. Medicare for the Lazy Man is going to be the title that we will stick with forevermore because we won't have to lose our reviews.
That's right. The first year that we had substantial reviews, we had about 60 reviews. 55 of them were 5 stars. And then there were 5 competing authors that we were squashing like the bugs that they are. And so they would each buy a copy of the book so they could submit a 1-star review. And then last year, which was the second year that we had a substantial number of reviews, we actually went from 60 reviews. We started from scratch and we had 215 reviews. And so the next book will have reviews. It'll gather reviews during the year, but because we're not going to change the title at the end of this coming year, we're going to get to keep all those reviews and just forge ahead. So eventually, there are going to be billions and billions and billions of reviews for the book. Of course, by that time, I'll be pushing up daisies, but you know. What the-
I doubt that. I doubt that. Well, but I have one observation to make.
Okay.
Okay. So Amazon's logic behind taking your reviews away because the title changed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't buy that. I mean, I agree. That's the reason they gave you. But let's say, for example, you wrote a book called The Dictionary.
Yes. Okay.
The Webster's Dictionary. Let's say that they had to change the title of that to Webster's Dictionary, the New and Improved Edition. So they're going to take all the reviews away from those folks?
Well, first of all, I'm with you 100% on my skepticism about the rationale. Because the first person I talked to last year, when I was ready to come out with a 2020 book, I said, what's going to happen to my reviews? Nothing. Your reviews will be just fine. They'll carry forward to your new book, just like, you know, and that was what I was promised. That's why I was so distraught and why I mentioned it on every podcast, because I was misled by one person's story. When I finally got a different person's story that kind of made more sense, I was profoundly disappointed. Now, that person's story, they may have another excuse a year from now. So we may get a bunch of reviews all year, and then a year from now, they might say, well, you know, you can't change the color of the year on the cover of the book.
That's right. They're so stale. They're stale. They're only good for 6 months.
So I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but it is one of the things that keeps life interesting is the fact that people throw roadblocks in your way and we climb over them or crawl under them or go around them and somehow survive so that we can help you, the listener, or the reader in this case, deal with Medicare when you have to deal with Medicare. Randy's talking about this other category. We actually have the book in about 10 categories, but one category I never knew it would wind up in was the one that Randy alluded to last episode. And I don't know if we should spill the beans or wait for more mail to pour in with the guests.
Let's wait one more episode before we, you know, give people a chance to vote, because you are never going to believe it.
It's going to take a really dedicated fan to remember that we've discussed this in the past. It was long, long ago.
Yes.
And it's a real oddball. But
if you start over with episode number one and have a Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast marathon while you're self-containing, or what do they call that?
Yeah, you know, quarantining or something.
Self-quarantine back in your house. Start listening and it's in there.
Yeah, there you go. I don't think we're going to be quarantining too much longer. I had a doctor's appointment. I had a benign keratosis growing on my eyelid, and my wife was shrieking. What is that?
What is that on your eyelid? What is wrong with your face?
Exactly. So get thee to the dermatologist. So I did. When I walked into the lobby of the doctor's office building, which is attached to our local hospital, I couldn't believe it. There was a huge number of mask-wearing weenies and scrubs in a big circle. And the circle was because the shape of the lobby has a hallway going off to one side. So as the people filled the hallway in their socially distanced, methodology, they came into the lobby and then they went around the perimeter walls of the lobby. And I'm guessing there were maybe 50 people. And I thought, what in the heck are they up to? Santa Claus must be here. That was my guess. And so they
Santa Claus?
That's what I thought.
I would have come for that.
Tis the season. So I was thinking, I got to get in line. But, you know me, I'm not Mr. Mask Wearer. So I just in case, so I didn't get into a fist fight right away, I grabbed one from the rack that they have and walked through the line, no mask on. And then I walked through the other half of the line where it curved around the other side of the room, no mask on. Nobody said a word. Nobody cared. And I punched the elevator button. And here came a little old lady with her mask on to join me. And she never said a word. So I'm thinking maybe the days of the mask Nazis are coming to an end. But anyway, so she and I were in this elevator together. And I was asking her what floor I could take her to because I was the chauffeur. I was standing next to the buttons. And we talked about my grandson who goes right to the, I said, what is going on in the lobby? I said, why are all those people down there? And she said, I think they're all getting injections of the vaccine. And I said, well, I hadn't heard that the vaccine was actually on its way to Illinois yet. So I wonder if they kept it a secret so that nobody would hijack the truck, the vaccine truck or whatever.
Yeah, I'm sure there was a bunch of robbers out there looking for the vaccine truck.
All they have to do is follow the the smoke from the dry ice, I would think.
Well, yeah, there is that. They could do that.
Well, anyway.
But I would just like to point out, just for the sake of pointing it out, if that lady that you rode up the elevator with, if you would have attempted to jump on that elevator with your World War II gas mask on, she would have run the other way screaming.
I can't wait for that to happen. I know it sounds horrible, but I can't wait to frighten somebody with my World War II gas mask that I have with me at all times just in case.
Well, then there's the Star Wars thing. You remember this quote?
Yeah. Luke, I am your father.
Yeah, that's kind of what I sound like when I talk in the mask. But in reality, like when I went to vote, when you're looking through two pieces of plexiglass, it kind of blurs the voting apparatus. So I actually did not wear a mask to vote, and I think I was the only one that didn't. There was a line that was a half a mile long. Everybody was standing socially distant from each other. And a guy with a mask on came around with a clipboard and said, here, fill this out. And I was the only one standing there with no mask for about a half an hour. Got inside and we went around in a circle so that they could have more people in line. And they had little numbers on the floor and I had to go stand on number 11, then number 12, then number 13. Nobody once said a word about me. So
I assume these numbers, was this like kindergarten?
It was very close to that.
Oh, yeah. Dougie,
yeah.
Go stand on the number 3.
Yes, exactly right. And then I'd read it upside down and I'd say, well, I don't see a number 3. You know, what is this? So it was going out in public is interesting. And frankly, I'm hoping it becomes less stressful. The good news I hear from California is 800,000 signatures on a petition to recall those commie bastards that have tried to wreck the California economy. And, you know, something, this is what you get when you vote for Democrats, ladies and gentlemen. But I don't know. I'm not trying to make this a political statement, but I am distraught at the ease with which some of the powers that be were able to destroy elements of our society, our freedoms, and our method of earning a living. But anyway, so I have good news. The new book is out. It's got a big orange banner that says number one new publication in its category, which is Medicare and Medicaid. And coincident with that is a letter from our favorite correspondent, Steve. Now, Steve, I've speculated, has either a lot of time on his hands or he has got way, he's like a graduate student and he's using me as research for his thesis that he's probably working on. So he's asking me a million questions about Medicare. And I used to think, oh boy, this guy's a real pest. He doesn't have anything more important to do than bug me. But I came around to the viewpoint that he is actually making this a better podcast. He's making a great contribution to everybody's knowledge level because when he comes up with a question and he asks me a question, he forces me to do research. And the longer he goes at it, the more involved the questions get. And the greater the amount of research I have to do in order to answer him with a cogent answer. Now, I just got this email today, and frankly, haven't had a chance to construct an answer. Randy and I have been so busy doing stuff like getting the Kindle version of the book kind of ratcheted in. We're still working on that and posting the most recent episode of this podcast and everything. So I haven't answered Steve's letter yet, but he asks just a word about dental plans. I've been on some good ones and some not good ones. I was looking over my dental benefit from last year. He said, I paid a total of $255 and they paid out about $100. That was for two cleanings and checkups and getting a crown glued back on. This is because my dentist was not in their small network, about like a Medicare disadvantage plan. Huh, taking a leaf from Randy's book. He said, so I waived dental coverage this year. Now, I think what he's got is a group health plan, you know, through his employer. But $255, I don't know if that includes any dependents or not. Seems a little pricey. But he has basically discovered that dental insurance is not a really good deal for most people. What happens is when you are working and your employer pays for part of the cost of dental insurance, then you get used to paying your share of the cost. But two things happen when you leave your employer's plan. And this happens to me all the time. People say, okay, I'd like to get the cheapest Medicare supplement I can. And I say to you, I've got the cheapest Medicare supplement. It's in my portfolio of products. The cheapest Medicare supplement is going to be a product that I can offer you for, you know, $37, $33, maybe $40. It depends on what state you're in. And then they say, well, now what about a drug plan? I tell them, well, the cheapest drug plan I can offer you is probably going to cost around $7. And people say, okay, I'll take both of those products. And then they say, oh, I'd like dental insurance also. That used to drive me nuts. That used to make my guts churn, and it used to make my brain just flip-flop in my head, because frankly, it becomes complex when you are in Timbuktu and you're asking me for dental insurance. I'm not sure how I can give you dental insurance that's going to be helpful to you at a reasonable price. And the answer was pretty much always, go somewhere else, would you please? Because I can't be bothered with this. That's because most people have dentists that are in dental networks. And if you sell somebody a dental insurance plan and the network that that plan relies on doesn't have that person's dentist in the plan, you're asking that person to go to a new dentist to get a discount or to ignore their insurance. And then why should they have insurance? Well, I discovered a dental plan that does not have a network. Actually, it has a network, but you don't have to use it. It's not mandatory to use the network. So now when somebody in, you know, Timbuktu or Florida or someplace asks me for dental insurance, I send them a brochure and I tell them, okay, this is dental, vision, and hearing insurance, and it's individual and it's expensive, but it doesn't have a network. Everybody can use this plan, and the network is non-existent. If you don't want it to be, you can go to your dentist and then you do the paperwork on a claim. The dentist will give you a bill and you can send that in to the insurance company and they'll send you back some money. The thing about dental insurance on an individual basis is it's always more expensive than we want it to be. And that's because the dentist or the insurance company knows that you're going to be using the benefit, because you wouldn't buy the insurance if you didn't want to go hang around the dentist's office every once in a while. And I think my last exam and cleaning and all that was, or my wife's was like $200. Yeah, it was incredible. So Steve asks, I don't, what do I do about dental? Well, the only thing I can tell him is here's an individual dental plan. The problem is you're going to be paying $65 for you. And if your wife is over 65 and she takes this plan too, she's going to be paying another $65 a month. So it ain't cheap. It includes vision and hearing. And he did say their small network, the dental insurance carrier that his employer has provided for him, has a small network of dentists. Well, my plan that I show to people avoids that. But a lot of them decide, eh, that's too much money. $65 a month for dental, vision, and hearing is more than I wanted to pay. I'll probably just go without coverage. We call that self-insuring in the business. Now, Steve says for vision, he paid a total of $60 for the year. That's like $5 a month. And he said, I probably got a bit more out of it than what I paid. He said, I recall when I first started working, many companies did not offer dental and vision. And that's correct. And people have found it to be a valuable benefit. They enjoy having dental insurance. But once again, you got to deal with a network of dentists, and that may or may not be frustrating for you. If you have a dentist and he is in the network that your company provides coverage for, then you're probably going to like having the coverage because your employer is going to defray a large part of the cost. But I got to tell you, folks, it's been my experience that people would rather change from one cardiac surgeon to another one, a complete stranger that may not even speak English, rather than change dentists. They are more reluctant to have a new guy sticking his hands in their mouths than they are to have a new guy putting them to sleep and then digging around in his chest. So it's just a phenomenon I've witnessed over the years that people don't want to change dentists, but they'll be happy to change doctors if they have to for a, you know, some kind of monetary reason. And then he makes a comment on a guy that I said on a video that we had a couple of episodes back that I said the guy looks like he has a man bun. If he turned his head sideways, I bet we'd see a man bun.
Somebody called us out on the man bun.
Well, I didn't pick out the video. Steve did. Steve said, click on this. You're going to see a video of a guy who agrees with you about the incredible value that high deductible Medicare supplement plans provide for their customers. And of course, Randy's going, that guy looks like he has a man bun. But we never saw for sure. It's just his hair looked like it was all pulled back like a ponytail or something. Then I referred to the fact that when I was youth and I wanted to impress the girls, I let my hair grow out. And frankly, my parents were horrified. So were many other adults. I remember seeing a sign in a barber shop. I didn't see it. I saw a picture of it, but it said no Beatles haircuts. barbers would not cut your hair if that's what you were asking for. So anyway, Steve then goes, we start out with talking about dental insurance. Then we go to vision insurance. Then we go to man buns. And then Steve says, the last time I saw a man bun, I figured the guy was in transition. He says, I hope I don't have to tell you what that means. No, Steve, you don't. I'm not that old. So thanks, but no thanks. You don't need to explain that for him. And then he says, I guess he felt guilty. Don't get me wrong. Nothing against people in transition. They get a lot of crap from everyone else. Well, not from me. I just keep my mouth shut and put my head down and forge ahead. Then he goes, well, now, that one thing, here's a thing I've noticed. There's a medication I take. I'll even give you the name of it. It's chlorthalidone. And he takes 25 milligrams and there's a hash mark 90 day supply. My insurance copay for that is $20. If I go to GoodRx, I can get this for $11.50. And then he says $12.50. He gives me the GoodRx link. This may be worth looking into for some medications. Well, now he may have overlooked the fact that you and I did a couple of episodes on drug cards. We did one, and I'm thinking around 50 episode mark or something like that, maybe 40.
It's been a while ago.
I did
ago,
one
yeah.
episode where I said, "Yeah, I don't know what drug cards are all about." I read a doctor's or some authority's article where he said, they're fraught with danger, and you got to watch out, and they're probably not worth it. And the people that sell the drug cards are a bunch of scumbag ripoff artists and all that, blah blah blah. And then I had dinner with the spousal unit who said, hey, listen, I had GoodRx, and here are two examples of having a good experience with them. And so I had to come back on the next podcast episode and apologize to the good people at GoodRx because my wife disagreed vehemently with our conclusions on the prior episode that said that drug cards were probably, or drug discount cards might not be worth it. Still got to do your shopping because I used to take chlorothalidone. It's a diuretic, basically. And I think my copay was like zero. So Steve's got a drug plan, and he's probably under 25. It's a drug plan for active employees, I'm going to guess. And there is a copay. But if you do what Randy and I suggest, which is go to Chapter 11 in the brand new Medicare for the Lazy Man and follow the steps. Randy has taken screenshots of these steps. You go to the website, follow Randy's screenshots. Then you might find that the least expensive Medicare prescription drug plan for you has zero copay for a drug like this. I'm not going to begrudge Steve and his opinion of GoodRx. It's always worth checking out these things to see if you can save some money. But it's entirely possible that if you select the correct drug plan from the choices available to you, that you will have a $0 copay for chlorothalidone. Can't guarantee it, but by following our directions, you lay out all available drug plans. In my county, there are 31 of them. Lay them out in order of cheapest to most expensive. And I think that's the best way you're going to find a good deal on drug plans. But enough about that. I think I've been yakking for so long, we might have. Did we hear crickets, or have the crickets been silenced?
I silenced the crickets, but we are running on fumes.
That's what I was afraid of. Frankly, the mailbag is not getting any less full. So by and by, we're going to have to concentrate. We're going to have to get after it with the mailbag.
The one thing I was going to mention is, I'm trying to build up our good reviews again since they've been taken away one more time.
Last time, I hope.
So go buy the book. You really need the new version. It's got new stuff. It's got a lot of great stuff. And by the way, we've got it on special. You buy three and pay for three.
Yeah,
so
that's good.
Just get some for the family and pass them out for the holidays. They'll love you forever.
Yeah, kids love that book because it's got a picture of a funny looking guy on the cover, and he's sleeping, he's snoring. But the important thing is the content, the Medicare content. Among other things, we address the best kept secret in Medicare. I'm not going to divulge that secret right now, but it is a money saving secret that agents will not talk to you about voluntarily for the most part. And in addition to that, we've added a new chapter this year that never before existed. And after hearing us through these podcasts talk about Medicare disadvantage plans over and over and over again, trying to warn people away, I actually added a chapter to the book addressing the one Medicare Advantage plan that I do not hate. And so if you want to find a $0 premium, $0 cost Medicare Advantage plan that is not horrible, then go to the book, and I forget which chapter it is, but there is a chapter devoted to that Medicare Advantage plan. So there's some new and interesting stuff in there.
The thing is that now we have a second hanging Chad. We've got the, what is the category that Doug is number one in besides Medicare and Medicaid? That's hanging Chad number one. Now we've got another hanging Chad that what Medicare Medicare Advantage plan that Doug doesn't hate. And the only way you can figure that out is to buy the book. So you really should do that.
Yes, and then your curiosity will be satisfied. I should clarify that first, Chad, is it's not always number one in that other category. Sometimes it's two or three, but it's always highly rated in that category, and there's no rational explanation that we've been able to come up with.
None whatsoever.
I've speculated, whatsoever. But frankly, I don't know. But
well, we need to thank the people because we're, really the fumes have now run out. We're coming in for a landing, or you'd like to think we're on a train. So let's use that metaphor today. We are out of steam.
Well, we're out of steam. We're going to roll into the station as we slow down and the engine winds up way past the platform. But the passenger cars are going to be at the platform. And we will always be mindful of the little signs that say, do not flush the toilet while in the station.
That's right. That's right. And they should have those same signs on the plane. when you don't eat the blue ice.
Right. I know when it when it comes falling out of the plane.
That's right. When it comes falling out of the, don't eat the blue ice. But anyway, thank you everybody for joining us. We thoroughly enjoy it. We thank you so much for helping us do this. We wouldn't be able to do it without you. It's become quite a real podcast now. We've been at it for almost a year. We've got good volume, we've got good results, and we've got good feedback. So thank you all for helping us do that. But in the meantime, you have spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance insurance guy from Oklahoma City.
Here goes the list, ladies and gentlemen.
That's right. And the only kid that asked for Christmas for a little pad of insurance applications.
And a tie. I want a little tie.
And a tie. Was it clip-on or no?
No clip-on back then.
Oh, no clip-ons.
They didn't exist.
Thanks for joining us. We appreciate you all. And we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.